Bible this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. At Christmas time, people tend to put Christmas into sentimental terms and phrases. Most of us have experienced one time or another going home from Christmas. Maybe we're in college. Maybe you're in the military. Maybe just got away from home and just wanted to come home. And there's just something about sentimental things about that. You can think about it a little bit and probably conjure up a tear or so and think about the times that you came home. And I know that we were being in the ministry. We were about 1,000 miles away from home, pastoring in Minnesota. And my family's from Michigan. And my wife's family are only about 20 miles from our church. And so we got to spend a lot of time with mom and dad. And they were very special to our house, to our home, to our lives, special to our boys. My grandma, Marsh's mom and dad, really helped us raise these boys right at the first few years. I was awful busy. I worked 3 different jobs plus pastor to church, just trying to make enough money to eke out to get the church going. And so my boys were over to Grandma Fry and Grandpa Fry's a lot, awful lot. And they spent a lot of time with them. But it was always an amazing time that every once in a while we would get to go back to Michigan for Christmas. And usually about every other year we got to do that. And that was a special thrill. We didn't drive because of the weather, so we flew. And we'd get into the airport and come home. And boy, there's nothing like the smell of your home. If you've been away and you come home, there's a certain smell about the home. And it's a wonderful thing. I remember coming home one year, and some reason we had this little jack-in-a-box. Pow! That thing would pop out, you know. Well, my son, Corey, had wore that thing out. And finally go, wouldn't work. So he opened it up himself. And that old clown would bounce up, you know. Well, he liked that thing so well, I thought, well, I'll take care of it. So I took a pair of wire cutters and cut the clown out of it. And I worked around, and Marcia sewed up this kind of the little spring on it, and that was his dolly. He might, don't tell him I said this, but anyway. And I suppose if today if we try to get on an airplane with that, oh, sorry, that's a weapon, you can't use it. But anyway, but I still remember, we got one picture coming in the home farmhouse in Hope, and here he's got that crazy clown, goofy-looking thing. I hope we didn't throw that thing away. That's good for posterity, amen. But coming home, just something about it. And it's awful nice to come home when people know that you're coming home. Because my mother, when she knew that we were coming home, she would be very busy baking all these wonderful, wonderful things to make me fat. And one year, my wife and I thought it would be a great idea. Let's surprise Mom and Dad. And so we came home, and nobody's at the farm. Couldn't find them. We have no idea. That was before telegraph, telephone, telewoman, and cell phones, amen. And they didn't come home for quite a while. And I went in the house, and there was nothing special. And that was the last time I ever did that, amen. But Christmas time is a very special time, and a lot of times we have these little thoughts of Christmas, little things that go into our lives. Many times people focus on the frailty of the baby Jesus, and they focus on the beauty of motherhood, and the pageantry of the wise men and their gifts from afar. Yet the true chief emphasis of the biblical Christian theology is placed on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's placed on God. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he wasn't only a babe in the manger, but he was God. He was the one that spoke this world into creation. He's the one that formed the man out of the dust of the ground. He's the one that put Adam asleep and took the rib and formed woman. Amen. He was the one that spoke the stars into existence. He's the one that created our lives and created this magnificent place that we live in. And so when you think about Christmas, many people say, oh, that's a cute little baby in the manger scene. And Brother Jim was telling me about the little boy that stopped at the church this morning, and he noticed, and he said, Mommy, what is all this? And he said, well, this is that's baby Jesus in the manger, and there's Mary and Joseph and the wise men. So they went down the next church. He said, what was the deal?
Well, the first one only had Mary and Joseph.
Oh, just Mary and Joseph's baby. Right.
The church had Mary and Joseph and the whole creation.
Yeah.
And
they said.
And he said, oh. And then the boy said, Mom, what are all these? And he said, well, these are the wise men and shepherds. They came to see the baby Jesus. And the boy said, well, they won't find him here. He's down at the other church.
There you go. So, this is what I get every morning. A lot of people don't understand the crucialness of what we're into right now, and to the fact that this is the Christ. This is the one who is promised by the prophets of old. This is one who is foretold. This is one who the prophets prophesied and said 4,000 years before this time that he would come. It's an incredible fact of the Word of God. I don't understand how people cannot believe that Jesus Christ is God. Because there are so many facts that prove to us the Word of God. Ancients of the old foretold of the union of deity and humanity. Prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6, that a child would be born, which was a definite reference to humanity and also a different reference to his character. He was the Almighty God, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The word Mighty God comes from the Hebrew El Gabor, and a reference of his deity. Isaiah used the word El, E-L, and it's used only in reference to God. And Gabor, which carries the meaning of a hero. Someone who was greatly respected of. Someone who has done something great. And whose chief characteristic is that he is God. He is the hero. And in a single stroke of the pen, the great prophet Isaiah, with this little verse, confirmed that the Christ child would be both humanity and deity. His name would be called Emmanuel, which revealed the same truth about the Lord in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The wording here meant more than God's presence with his people in the providential dealing. It means that the very presence of the virgin-born child brings God to his people. Matthew identifies Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. That to me is a very, very astounding fact that God, who created this magnificent universe, would come to mankind.
Amen.
And the Bible says that the wise men came and worshipped him, the young child, Christ, when they finally found him in Matthew 2:11. And when they had come into the house, They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The second writer, Luke, in the Gospels, described the mission of John the Baptist in preparing the people for the Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in spirit and power of Isaiah, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John Baptist, John the Baptizer, his job was to prepare. Here he's coming. You remember John the Baptist said, when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, "This is the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world." You also remember that John the Baptist also understood, and he was his cousin. He also said, "I am not worthy to unlatch the shoes from your feet. How can I baptize you? I need to be baptized of you." When you read the scripture, you find that John the Baptist, there was no greater prophet in all the Bible than John the Baptist. Yet John the Baptist said to our Lord and Savior, "I'm not worthy to even take the shoes off your feet." This is who came to us. The angels spoke to Mary and called Jesus the Son of the Most High. Luke 1:32, "And he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David." With angels speaking. I think if an angel spoke to me, I'd listen, amen. The angel explained to Mary how the baby Jesus would be fathered. And that was God's, the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Later, in the second chapter of Luke, we see the shepherds pointed to the one who is a Savior, even Christ the Lord. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Later in the second chapter of Luke, we read of an old servant of God, Simeon. Some call him an old high priest. We're not sure, but the Bible said he was an old man. He was a righteous and a just man. And he waited for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and somehow, I don't know how it happened, but he was promised that before he died, he would see the Christ child, or the Yeshua Yamashiach, or the Messiah. He came into the temple by the Spirit of God. Isn't it amazing? And he saw the Christ. And I love this. I don't know about you, but I love babies. I love babies. I can't wait to hold that baby. I do love babies. I read in the scripture where Jesus came and he touched the children. Touched the babies. There's just something about touching a child, amen. I love to touch him. I love to pray for him. And here's an old man. He's just, he's righteous, he's a godly man. He sees, he walks in by the Spirit and he sees the Christ and he knows exactly who he is. He is the Messiah. And the Bible says that he took him in his arms. I don't know about you, but when I was a young kid, my children, I always liked preachers hold my kids. Dr. Jack Isles used to ruffle Chad and Corey's hair. Pat him on the head and tease him to daylight's out of him, amen. I remember an old preacher named R.V. Clearwaters. Somehow he fell in love with my wife's little sister, Debbie. Little blonde-haired, cute little thing. And somehow my father-in-law got a... He was, I guess they were at their house, and Debbie gave him a picture of her. When that man was in a rest home, He thought I was married to Debbie because my father-in-law and I came in. He was kind of losing his senses. And he pulled out of his billfold a picture of Debbie. That old man of God. Great preacher. Huge church, Fourth Baptist Church, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Still carried the little picture of Debbie when she was a little girl. There's something about the man of God and kids, amen. Oh, I always want my kid to be held by the preacher. I always want God to have him to bless him. Hey, pray for my little child, amen. Boy, that's a good idea, amen. Here that old man is. I think he's shaking a little bit. You know, getting older is tough on a man and a woman. We start finding shakes that we didn't know we had shakes. We find hair places that should not have hair in it. Things just kind of go crazy on us, amen. Can you imagine that old man being led by the Spirit of God? Take that little baby to his arms. This is what he said. It's recorded. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The word thy salvation means God's salvation. I have seen the salvation of God. I've seen it. This is what he says. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And you ought to thank God for that unless you're a Jew, amen. Yeah. Lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of the people Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I wonder, why did you marvel? The angels have already said, you take Mary unto yourself because she is going to be, she's the child of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, sir. And Mary, be it known unto me. But they still marveled. One of them marveled. I thought this was a secret. People know about him. They marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him. And said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He's preaching. He's saying, Mary, you're going to hurt. Actually, what he's saying is, Mary, you're going to see him on the cross. This little baby that you brought in the world is all happiness and all excitingness now, but it's going to be a tough time. But it's going to be a wonderful thing that he has come because he is the salvation of mankind. Therefore, if the babe of Christ is God with us, then Christmas should take us back to the pre-existence, the second person of the Godhead of all eternity, and it also take us forward to his work of salvation on the cross, his resurrection, and beyond to him being the final judgment and the final judge. He can only be the great King of kings and Lord of lords. What the Apostle Paul write? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name, that a name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things of earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, amen, the Father. Amen. In saying of all that, I am reminded of the little things of Christmas. The emphasis of this account is a concentration of things that I'd call the little things of Christmas. There's very little weight given to the so-called important people of the world at this time, or at that time. Caesar Augustus was on the throne of Rome. King Herod, throne of Israel. The high priest, don't even name him. Religious leaders of the day, don't even know who they were. Some of those who came into the story indirectly, others appeared later in the relationship with God and his ministry. But in the story, the emphasis is on the little people. I like that. I thought of that when I was writing this. I was thinking, for the most people in this world, people don't know who I am. And for the most part, people in this world don't know who you are. The world does not hinge on us, nor do we hinge on the world. Scriptures, this Christmas story really begins with Zacharias. He's in the temple. He's promised John the Baptist. Talks about his wife. These are godly people who lived right and walked right and lived right. Thank God for godly people like that, amen. That walk right and live right and act right and bring their kids up right, amen. Thank God for people like that. Then we hear, find Mary. Mary, she's just a little young lady. Joseph, just a carpenter. The shepherds. Not even given their names. In fact, they were considered as unclean people because they touched sheep. They were the handlers of sheep. Simeon, the old servant of God. Anna, a very ancient prophetess in her 80s. The wise men, not even named. Not even seemed particularly important to the Jewish culture. They were Gentiles. They assumed that they were no part of a spiritual blessing. But they are there. You may not think that you're important. You may not think that people even know who you are or who you exist. You who cleaned the church yesterday, as I drove by the church getting the mail, I saw your car here. You may have thought it was important, but it's important. You who took care of the nurseries and those who are right now take care of nurseries, you not think they're important. Just bring them little regrets in here for a minute. You'll find out how important they are. And not only that, I told a young family who was thinking about coming to our church, I said, just think 2 hours of free babysitting. You may not think it's important that that person that sat and studied this lesson for today to teach your child, to teach that adult, teach that elderly person. You may go about your business not think it's important to visit the fatherless and the widows. You may not think it's important that you got on your knees and said a prayer yesterday or last night before you went to bed and you prayed for your preacher and prayed for his wife and prayed for his family, prayed for the church services. You may not think that was important, but it's important. Amen. Yesterday morning we got a call from my son, said that his father-in-law was, they thought he had a stroke. And I had a word of prayer, and then Marcia started praying. I wished I'd taped it from the heart. But last night we found out that he just had a bad infection in his bladder, and it made him kind of crazy like that. You say, well, that's just part of it. No, I believe God healed him. Amen. It's so many things in our life that we don't think are important. Just like the Christmas story. Who is Joseph? Where did he come from? Up in the Galilee area. Mary, where did she come from? I don't know. It's relative to Elizabeth. Elizabeth's husband was a priest. She was from the Aaron line. We don't think too much about it. Was it important to the three? Was it important to the wise men that brought the three gifts? Was that important? I think it was important. It was important to Joseph. How in the world is he going to take care of financially, take care of his wife and his child, and going in different places into Egypt? We just don't know a lot of things. And the things that you don't think are important that probably turn out at the end of your life are going to be the most important thing that ever happened to you in life. The things that you don't think, boy, this is the most important thing in my life, really, didn't even make a blip on the radar screen of life. I guess what I'm trying to tell you this morning is you are important to God. And God loves you very much. For God so loved the world that He gave. And He gave His Son. If it was just for you, He'd been here for you. So you could have eternal life. Life important? Absolutely. Your life is very important. You may not think it, teenager. You may not think that little time that you come up and say hi to somebody else who just came to the church and some child that comes by and opens the door. And you may not think the other day we're going someplace, I had my hands full of things that I had a march on my arm and we're walking in, this man opened the door. I could have given him a big hug, but I couldn't. My hands were full. Someone may say something to you that may get you through another day. There may be a widow that's been having a really tough time and maybe she's very, very, very lonely. And you just happen to stop over or call them on the phone or just say, hey. Is that important? Absolutely. My wife and I were in Sam's. We go to Sam's and Walmart. Not that we need to, but it's great exercise and I don't tell her that's what we're doing. And we're going by the juices way back in the back, and here came an old guy. One of these. Hat cocked off sideways. You know, he tried to shave, but he didn't get it all. And I looked at him. I said, how you doing today? Kind of slow. I said, boy, getting old, you got to be pretty tough. Say that again, Sonny. I got a dollar bill up and gave him to him, man. He called me Sonny, amen. I talked to one person. They got a little upset about this person that kept coming back to the grocery store. And finally, after the fifth time that day, the lady says, good night, why don't you make a list? And he said, I'm lonely. And you're the only one that talks to me all day. Sometimes you have no idea what you're doing. The things that you think that are most important to you, they're not going to be the top 10 of your list of your life. But the thing that you didn't think was important, that little gesture, that little gift, that little love, that little pat on the back, that little shake of the hand and grabbing the elbow, that little encouragement. The little things of this life, for most people, are the most important things of this life. Some of you children haven't stopped off at your kid's house for a while. The parents' house for a while. Some of you haven't got on the phone and say, hey, Dad, I just want to tell you I love you and I'm praying for you. Some of you just don't know what it is for someone to say, hey, you know what, I'm thinking about you. Those are the little things that mean a lot. I heard one man said, I don't want the diamonds and the money. Oh, I just want to hear a word of encouragement. I just want to hear from someone. The last time I figured out it didn't cost anything, get on the phone and say, howdy, how are you doing today? I think of my friend Jerry, who's in the hospital today. He must be an awful lonely man. Day in, day out. I think of the lonely people of this world. I think of the little things of Christmas that many times we forget. We're all busy, all trying to get our stuff done. But how about just one moment stopping off and stopping in and encouraging somebody. It'd be amazing what it'll do to them. I have some little guys coming to my house. Mom comes to take care of Marshall as well. Man, they know where my swan drumsticks are. The other day I went out there and that box is gone. They know where the fruities are, you know, those bags of fruit and stuff. By the way, kids, I got a new box upstairs, don't forget, and in the office. And they know where the chips are and they know where the pop is. I've been trying to hide the Mountain Dew on them, amen, because that's my favorite, amen. No, don't drink that, amen. Sad day that we forget the little things that mean so much. A little note, a little encouragement that would say, I love you. The Christmas story according to Jesus Christ. I have 3 minutes to tell you this. We find that in Hebrews chapter 10. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I wish that would be our desire. Jesus' desire was always to do the Father's will. The Bible says in Philippians that we are to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So therefore, it is our responsibility to do what? Have the mind of Christ, to do the will of our Father. You know, beginning in December, I read the Christmas story. I try to do it every day, sometimes more than once a day. And Matthew presents Jesus as the prophesied heir of the throne of David. And Matthew's genealogy proves that Christ is the only one that has a legal right to the king's throne. Tracing his descendants from Abraham to David and Joseph, there's no other document in any place except the Word of God that documents that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. Luke, he presents Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. His gospel, he appealed to the Greeks and to accept him as the Son of God. The Lord's story is found in Luke chapter, in the Old Testament, Psalm 14. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are done abominable works, and none doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men, and see if there's any that did understand to seek God. They all are gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people, and they eat eat as bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for the God and all generations the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of the people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. And that happened, amen. In the New Testament, the words in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. He was born to die. What is it that the Lord emphasized in these verses? He's born to die. That he came to the world for a purpose. That is important, and don't miss it, for the unique true of him. It cannot be said of any person ever born in this world was born for a reason. It is often true that purpose parents have their children and want their children to do certain things. But the hope of that child lying in a crib will grow up to do something significant in the world is our desire. If parents are Christians, They want their child to be kept from sin and be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents have those other aspirations, but the child does not have them. The child will have to acquire them. That is why, for a Christian's perspective, the child must be taught their destiny comes from the Word of God.
Amen.
But Jesus was different. Our Lord said that He came and was conscious of coming to a specific purpose. Moreover, He spelled that out. He said, I come to do Your will, O God. What was His will? God willed Christ to be the Savior. The Christ. I don't know why it is, but we often lose the sense of the purpose of telling the Christmas story. We focus on the birth of the baby and the sentimentalness that goes along with that story. Certain amount of legitimate sentimentality that's gone with it, but we get so caught up in the details that we miss the most important things. Actually, the story is treated quite simply in the Scripture. The emphasis is always the fact that Christ came to die. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on a human body in order that He might die for our salvation and shed His blood. When our Lord speaks of His coming, and therefore highly understandable that He is thinking along those lines. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the author contrasts a sacrifice that took place in Israel to the coming Christ, the sin offering, the burnt offering, by which believers testified of their faith that God would accept them on the basis of the death of the innocent substitute, but with Christ's great perfect sacrifice. In its contest of the contrast between the former things and the things now to come, between the shadow and reality, to bring the quotation to Psalm 40, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world for this purpose. And that purpose was to do God's will, and to be our Savior. We miss the most important things about Christmas if we fail that He was to do God's will, and that was to be our Savior.
Amen.
Even when He was 12 years old, it was recorded, and He said unto them, His mom and dad, how is it that ye sought Me? Wist not that I must be about My Father's business. Isn't that incredible? And that reminded me, when I was writing that, even a 12-year-old ought to know what you're doing. You ought to know what you're doing. You ought to know what you got going for you. Little things at Christmas just reminds us that all of us can be big for God. Amen. This reminds us that we can do great things for God by just doing the things we're supposed to do. Just showing up. One man said Christianity is 75% just showing up. And the rest of 25%, the preacher will tell you what to do. Amen. To show up. Little things. Little things that don't seem very big to you may be the greatest accomplishments you ever did in your life. It may be the greatest thing ever happened to you. You had that child, and that child may grow up to be a preacher, maybe an evangelist, maybe a missionary. You have no idea who sits beside you today. You have no idea who's sitting in front of you or behind you. That God could do some great work in your heart and your life if you allow Him. My will is to do My Father has told me to do.
Amen.
Christmas is a wonderful thing. But Christmas is this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's Christmas.
Amen.
Christmas at its fullest. Let's pray. Father,